There is a perfect blend of the earthly and spiritual. The two are inseparably related to one another. We insist, of course, that God's grace is not found in material things. We may not confuse nature and grace. This is the error of those who say that in the sunshine and rain or riches is to be found God's attitude of favor. Not true. But neither may we go to the opposite extreme and separate the realm of the earthly from the realm of the spiritual. It is not as if our earthly possessions have nothing to do with our life of salvation that is freely given us by God. There is an intimate relationship between the two. That relationship is set forth in the verses of Scripture we consider today. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15 reads, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." That's it. The short verse of the Bible is what we're going to consider today. You see, when you and I are saved, then we view the possessions we receive in this world in a totally different way than the unbeliever. Not only do we view them in a different way, but we use them in a different way too. We use them to seek the kingdom of heaven. We refuse to place our trust in uncertain riches, but we use them as a means to seek a higher end. We become Christian stewards of that which God has given us in this life, and in wisdom use that money to help the church and one another. Beginning in chapter 8 of this second letter of Paul to the Corinthian church, Paul addresses the whole subject of Christian giving. It is not as if the church in Corinth had a problem, of course, in this area. On the contrary, this church was giving diligently and abundantly to the needs of the saints. Paul commends them for that. But in this praise, Paul draws their attention to the grace of God that worked in them that resulted in such giving. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Not only did God work in these saints the heart to give to the need of others, but God also enriched them with material, earthly wealth in order that they might provide such help. We read in verse 11 that the saints in Corinth were bountifully enriched in everything. The idea here is that God not only worked in them graciously the spirit of giving, but also provided richly all things they gave. God is the one in every case that provided. As we celebrate Thanksgiving Day this week to come, this thought must be before our hearts. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. We give thanks to God for our earthly provision in light of the unspeakable gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. It is Thanksgiving. Today, or this week, all of our country will celebrate giving thanks. The vast majority of the masses in our country will use that day for vacation, for watching football, for eating and drinking without the least thought of giving thanks. Others will give thanks to other people or organizations for what they have received from them. Maybe those who are really into this day make a list of people to whom they can give such thanks. Included on the list are friends and family and employers or employees and so on. But few take any time out to thank God. Very few, on the day of Thanksgiving, understand the fact that that day was used by pilgrims years ago to give thanks to God for providing for them in this new land to which they had traveled. That's the essential reason for this day, to give thanks to God, first of all and foremost, for all the earthly gifts He has again provided in this past season of the year. Let's keep that in mind in this week to come. God has given us all things richly to enjoy. To use Paul's words in verse 11, God has enriched us in everything to all bountifulness. God has given to His creatures everything, no exception, everything that they possess. We could start with all the material comforts and luxuries that we have, all the extras. Think you can name them? You would be surprised how many possessions we have in this life that are not necessities but extras. We do know what necessities are, right? When we pray that God gives us this day our daily bread, we are asking for necessities. Food, clothing, and shelter. These are necessities. These are the basics of life, those earthly material things we need to live in this world. Anything over and above these are extras. So we live in a society of extras. So much have we been given that we are spoiled in all the extras. How often we hear it from the mouths of men and women today. I want. We hear that more in our society than any other society. Even though we have been given more than anyone else, Americans are forever in debt because though they have so much more than anyone else in the world, nevertheless they want more of it. God has given to the people of our land much in the way of necessities and comforts. This week we stop for a moment, we pause, we think. God has provided all of these things. God, in His providence, gives to us these many earthly gifts. They come from His mighty hand, after all. He gives and He withholds. He gives and He can take, and does at times, take away again. We are merely stewards of the earthly possessions God has given us. In this season, we bow in humble thanks as God's people now, even though the ungodly will not, we bow in humble thanks for the bounties of the earth God has again provided in this year gone by. But we ought to realize something. These gifts mean nothing at all in themselves. That's something the unbeliever does not understand. He thinks that when God gives him these things, he's being blessed by God. These earthly possessions are empty and vain in themselves. They mean nothing. In fact, they can be a real stumbling block in one's life when he begins to put his trust in them and not in God. How easy it is that we begin to think that life consists in these things. Life is houses and cars and entertainment and so on. And we somehow expect that we will find peace and happiness of heart in these comforts. But these earthly material possessions really mean nothing at all in themselves. I mean, it's like a family living on a houseboat that's floating down the Niagara River. They could fix up that houseboat, make it pleasant for themselves, have it heaped with all kinds of food, have the latest in entertainment on it, and to say, this is life, this is living, this is good, can't get any better. And the next day, the whole boat and everyone on it goes over the falls and is dashed to pieces and perishes. Yep, that's life, all right. Now, the gift that we truly give thanks for in this day, as God's people, is an unspeakable gift. It is a gift of priceless possession, a gift that once given we cannot lose. It is a gift which, if we possess, will have an effect on the way that we view all of the earthly gifts we receive from God. And if you are a believer, you know what gift I'm speaking of. What is the unspeakable gift? Salvation. It is a gift that God has given His chosen people in Jesus Christ Himself. In fact, if we were to focus exactly on the one unspeakable gift God has given His people, it is Christ. God sent forth His Son into this world. That is a gift. That Son suffered and died on the cross for His people. That is a gift. That Son was raised again for our justification in life. That is a gift. That Son has sent forth His Spirit to live in the heart of every believer. A gift. That Son preserves us in that salvation. A gift. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will usher us into the heavenly kingdom that awaits us. A gift. God gives us all of this in Christ Jesus our Lord. Talk about a reason for thanks in this season of the year. Notice how our text emphasizes that all of this is indeed a gift. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Now, we all know what a gift is. That is, if something is truly a gift. It is something freely given to another. Not because he merited it or earned it, it's something freely given to another person. Most of the time when we give gifts, it is to one we love or like, and simply as an expression of our appreciation for them. If this is true, then it is amazing when we look at what God does in bestowing gifts on his people. These gifts are not only not earned, but they are not deserved in the least sense of the word. That's true of every creature of God's hand. Nobody deserves these. They are not an expression of appreciation by God for something we've done, that's for sure. They are given wholly, purely, out of God's goodness. He is good, the fount of all good. Out of his goodness, he provides all the creatures of his hand with what they need. Our earthly possessions are a gift given us by means of God's providence. After all, God, as a good creator, provides for all his creatures. Even the wicked, unbelieving man, mind you, receives these earthly possessions and wealth from God's almighty hand. But the gift of salvation, now, that's truly a gift. It is bestowed on only some by means of God's grace. Is this not the testimony of the gospel? God's people receive salvation not on the basis of good works. We receive it only by God's sovereign and free grace. In fact, we are not even worthy of receiving this gift. We were doomed to perish in our sins. There was no hope. There was no way of escaping our punishment for the sins we committed against God. Then God, freely and sovereignly, saved us. He, in his grace, sent his Son to death for us, the Son that he had loved from eternity. God sent Christ to bear the full punishment of his wrath against our sins and delivered us. That gift of God is unspeakable. We as God's people cannot express its beauty, its power, its wonder, its worth in human terms. We do not even know how to put it into words. The joy and thanksgiving that we have for what God has done for us in Christ. How does one begin to describe what great things God has done for us, fellow believers? He saved us, and by means of that salvation has adopted us as his children and heirs unto life eternal. In his grace he has chosen to fellowship with us, to uphold us in our needs, to grant us the knowledge that in every circumstance of life, he, the great and mighty God of heaven and earth, is with us. He will uphold us in our hour of greatest temptation and trial. He will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. He is our God and we are his people. That blessedness, given us freely by the hand of God, is indeed the greatest, most wonderful of all gifts. It is unspeakable, indescribable, beyond our finite comprehension, what God has done for us. Thanks be to God. This salvation, this gift of God's grace to his people, gives us hearts that are overwhelmed with thanks. And in that thanks, we now take a new look, don't we, at the earthly gifts we have received from God's hand too. Now we see that these are a means that we can use to seek a higher end, that of our final salvation. No, they will not help us earn that end. But we can use them for the work of the Lord in this world. We not only use our money and our possessions, therefore, to support our family, we certainly do not selfishly hoard that money and say, it's mine, I will use it for me and what I want. But we use it to support the church and help those in need. So, we receive the instruction that we do in this chapter of 2 Corinthians verses 6 and 7. For this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And there is the relationship between the earthly and the spiritual gifts we receive from the hands of our God. But our thanks is given not simply because of the unspeakable gift. Look at who gives it. Really, the beginning and end of all things is God. He has made all things, and to His glory are all things. When we as believers give thanks, we ought to be extremely aware of who it is to whom we give such thanks. It is our Father. It is a God who has loved us from eternity, adopted us in the blood of Christ, and sends forth His Spirit into our hearts, by which we call Him our Father. People of God, our Father gives us this unspeakable gift. Oh, how He loves His people in Christ. Despite our weaknesses and sins, He loves us. How gracious He has been to us in giving us hearts and minds to know who He is. So many are lost in blindness. That love He has for us is unchangeable. God has been faithful in this year gone by, has He not? In everything that we have received from His hand, He has been faithful to His children. Even when God sends them affliction, He does it for a reason, and that is not to crush them, but to save them. In this past season of the year, some of us may have received such affliction, or we may not have received as much from God's hands as we thought we needed. God, after all, controls all these things, but He does so always in His great love for those whom He has saved in Christ, a love that never changes. And that's a good thing. We do not deserve His love. But we rejoice in everything we receive from God's hand in this past year once again. We rejoice especially in this. He's preserved us in the faith. He has not suffered our feet to be moved. The everlasting arms of our Heavenly Father have held us up. You see, God vowed a vow to His people. And to His church. He married us and took us to be His bride and vowed a vow to us. He said, I will be your husband, to have and to hold you from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. I will love you forever. I will never leave you. I will be a faithful husband, a faithful God to you. And even despite your sins, I'll never forsake you. God has been faithful to His vow. He is the unchangeable God in His love and mercy towards His people in Christ. Thanks be to God. Yet there is a little something different that has to be added to this too. You see, as creator and sovereign ruler over all, God made a promise regarding this earthly creation too. And on this promise, we as His children now have come to rely as well. We would despair, in fact, if not for this promise. It's given us in Genesis 8, verse 22. There God says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, here's the truth. I would think you and I do not really very often contemplate, do we? We take it for granted. God promised after the flood that seed time and harvest would not cease. Why is it that the seasons are fixed the way that they are? The psalmist says that they are fixed by divine wisdom. God has fixed them. Every year, without fail, there's seed time and harvest. And we rejoice in that harvest today, don't we? We give thanks that the harvest is again taken in, and there is plenty to support us. Do not take that for granted, my fellow believers. God gives us this harvest. God has been true to this promise as well. Remember, He is the unchangeable God. Because He is, we are able to sow the seed in the springtime and reap it again in the fall. In this we see our calling too. What God gives to us in His never-changing faithfulness, we must be willing to give back to Him. God's grace in our hearts abounds. We take a look at the unspeakable gift God has given to us now. Of our earthly possessions, we give to others too who are in need. And that's the idea of the passage of God's word before us. You see how God's faithfulness inspires His people to use our earthly comforts and wealth in a frugal way? What then is our response to God who gives us this unspeakable gift? Thanks! What shall we render to the Lord? Thanks! Wholehearted thanksgiving. You know what thanksgiving is? It's expressing our gratitude to God for all He has done for us. Sometimes I wonder if many in our generation really know what it means to give thanks to somebody. We are so spoiled. We actually think that we have something coming to us, that what we receive is expected, that we are entitled to it in some way. I know how it is. Mother gives us something and we turn and walk away without the least sense of gratitude in our hearts, much less upon our lips. Hello? Where's the thank you? Oh yeah, thanks. But the word is idle and empty. It does not mean a thing. Giving thanks is an acknowledgement that we have received something from someone that we did not have to have or that we did not deserve to receive. It is then sincere appreciation that can be heard in the voice that we have received this. And it is walking away with true gratefulness in our hearts. That's thanks. When's the last time you thanked somebody for what you received? When is the last time we have truly given that kind of thanks to God? It should be there in every prayer, every prayer. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Thanks for our salvation. Thanks that we can be numbered among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thanks that we can be children of the Most High God. Thanks that we have been given a place in the church by God's grace. Thanks for our fellow saints and the care God has shown us in His church. Thanks for God's tender care over us, upholding us. Even when times are so hard and difficult, and yes, thanks be to God for taking care of us again in these months that have passed by. Let's count our blessings, people of God. Name them one by one. Not just the earthly wealth that we have, but count the blessings of salvation. Let's do that as we gather around the table to eat with our families on this coming Thanksgiving Day. To whom ought we to render thanks in all things? Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee for everything. For all of the gifts that Thou hast bestowed upon us, we thank Thee for our salvation. We thank Thee for giving us thankful hearts for our salvation. And now, in that thanksgiving, may we thank Thee too for all of the earthly blessings we receive of Thy hand. May we be willing to impart those things on others. We thank Thee in this time of the year, but we thank Thee at all times, for Thou art our great and glorious God. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.